You're listening to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm the host, Karagat Warner, and it's my mission to share those stories that celebrate our passion for making and yarn crafting and what keeps us going down that path. If you absolutely love this show and you want to help it to be sustainable for the long haul, then you can do your part and sponsor Power Pearls Podcast at whatever level feels comfortable to you. And I promise you, I have some juicy rewards in store. So let me share a little bit about those. You get ongoing monthly challenges and knit-alongs, patron-only mini-sodes, and a private Facebook group. So if you join me now, you'll get in on the ground floor and you can help me shape the future of Power Pearls. With your influence and valuable input, we can take this exciting ride together. So to learn more about how to support the show, go to patreon.com/Power Pearls Podcast. Hey, Power Pearlers, welcome to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. Today, I am joined by the one and only Leanne Presley of Stitchcraft Marketing. And Leanne is the multi-hat-wearing CEO of the company.
That's true.
So thanks for joining me today.
Yeah,
this is great.
For having me, Kara.
This is awesome. So I always like to start each episode by asking the guests about themselves. If you could just share, I know that's a loaded question, right? But a little bit about yourself and kind of your knitting evolution, if you will.
Right.
Like, yeah, so
the origin story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Well, let's see. without taking up too much time, I started with fiber crafts when I was in my late teens, early 20s. It's a funny story, actually. I was at a farm in Fort Collins where I was going to graduate school. Mm-hmm. And I found myself across the row hoeing weeds from Deb Robson.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure if you know Deb Robson, for those that don't know, she is a maven of fiber and spinning. She's the author of the Fiber Source book.
And she's with BCS Business and Creative Services.
Yeah, I think so. Well, she's mostly a writer, publisher, but in those days, she was the editor of Spinoff Magazine at Interweave at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm pulling weeds at the farm with Deb, and she says to me, who are you? Where are you from? And so we get to talking, and I say, I need a job. And she says, I need an assistant editor. And so she hired me to help her on Spinoff. And so when I got to Interweave, which was based in Loveland at the time, mm-hmm, she said, well, you can't work here unless you learn how to knit. And so that sort of started my journey with fiber.
Wow.
I dabbled just a little bit, but and I know you love to hear the first project stories.
This is horrible. The ugly first project.
Yeah. Okay. So picture this. It was like a Dr. Seuss stockinette hat with tons of stripes, you know, going down. And of course, because I didn't know how to knit, it was like straight, then a big and then this,
It was wearable art.
Yeah, it was. But it has a special place in my heart.
Do you still have it?
I do. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I made a jester hat. That reminded me of
it's like that.
But I didn't knit it. It was when I was back in the days when I worked in the garment center, and then I was all about cut and sew, and I made this crazy.
Do you still have it?
No.
No.
It's a long story, but I ended up selling it to MTV.
That's
a whole other story.
Well, that is a great ending for
and
that
one
project.
Of the VJs wore it. Karen Bryant was a VJ way back in the day. I don't know what she's doing now, but anyway.
Yeah. Awesome.
So
I worked
carry on.
There at Interweave I was in graduate school, so I needed to finish my program. So I worked there for just a little bit and then left, did a few life things. And then many, many years later, I had this vision of like, you know what? What's my perfect job? Like, what do I get out of bed in the morning and just love to do? Fiber, knitting. And so that set me on a journey to come back to Interweave.
Yeah.
And they hired me to work remotely to do ad sales for the knitting publications. So I was doing Fiber Arts, which is no more, but at the time on that title, then, you know, the Knits titles, Knit Scene and Crochet and some of those. So I did that for 4 years. And then right about the time that the recession hit, I was on the phone with lots of clients, and they were like, you know, I don't really want to buy the print ads, but can you tell me about this Facebook stuff that you're you're doing? Because it was kind of new then. Mm-hmm, it was the advent of social. Mm-hmm. And so that just kind of gave me the light bulb moment of like, hey, maybe I can do some newsletters or something for a couple of clients. And that was about 8 years ago. And so it's really grown from then.
Wow, that's
into
really...
like a full-fledged, full-service agency.
I did a little research, and I went to your About page. And I was like, wow, you've got a whole marketing team, our team of account executives and marketing people.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed, because then I ended up going down a little bit of a rabbit hole.
Okay.
And I went to, I looked at all of their websites and, you know, their profile. These are people that are really, they're like you. It's like, you know, it seems like you handpicked these people to be, you know, like your collaborators. And and so you've really created your own little empire here. Because I've seen your evolution. I mean, we go back a couple years, you know, just, you know, in the industry, knowing each other, and I was introduced to you a couple of years ago, and so I've seen your business grow, and it just consistently, like, those little steps are really where it's at, too.
And when we first started, the business was actually, had a different name. It was called the Wool Wide
Web. And some I remember.
Don't connect that dot. Yeah.
That's what I mean, I totally remember that.
Yeah. And so we're the same as that name.
Okay.
Then we rebranded because we felt like we wanted to serve more than just fiber and yarn and knitting in that sector. So now we actually have fabric, garment making, hard crafts like scrapbooking. We have a heat vinyl client. You know, people that are in all different sectors of craft are in our clientele. So
okay, so tell me about the clientele. So it's you're focused on the public relations, the social media. Like, what is the package deal? Like, when someone is like, like just me, because I'm your client.
Yeah, right.
But it's like, what can you help someone do? Because I tell you, it's hard. Like, I feel like there's certain things only that I can do. And I'm speaking for the Power Pearls listener.
Sure.
There's only certain things I can do. And then the other stuff, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so overwhelming. I don't have time. I mean, I've used the Meet Edgar, you know, Meet Edgar and the Smart Queue and all those. But still, you have to generate the content, and you have to generate good content.
Yes.
Or it's like, even if you're content putting it out there, it doesn't mean anything.
That's right.
So tell me, how do you help someone? Mm-hmm. Let's use me as an example.
Okay.
Or so me, you know, a one-man show, one gal show.
Yeah.
And then we can even talk about the other types of clientele. So
right. Yeah. So when someone calls us and says, I need help, I've heard about you, I don't really know what you do, where do I start? The process is we problem solve. So you and I would say, you know, where are your pain points? What are the things you're really struggling with the most? And then if there's a fit with our skill level, you know, we really have some sweet spots.
Yeah.
Then there's a match, and we design a custom program for you. And typically our clients are on an every month program. So we would design, like, let's say, for example, you came to me and said, I don't have time for social. I really need help with strategy and planning. I need an editorial calendar, you know, maybe a few other things. Then your monthly program would encompass those pieces of the execution of the program, right? So we would do the posting for you. We would do the editorial calendar for you.
Mm.
We would meet with you every month and talk about what is your brand strategy for this quarter. And then we break it down to even smaller. Our strategy plans are really granular. So, and that might be just because that's what you need. Now, other clients come to us, they need pattern support, for example. They don't want to deal with designers and finding new patterns or tech editing or the photography and layout. And so we take that whole program and offer that to them as a service. And we do a big variety of different services. I like to say kind of we are full service. But really, our super sweet spot is social.
Okay,
it's
that's because that's
strategy and execution.
That's my experience with you. So I'm glad that you're enlightening me, because I thought, okay, you're all about the social. Because I know when we spoke in the past, and when we were going to possibly do some work with Annie's, it was, okay, we'll do the Facebook piece, the Ravelry piece, this piece. And so now you've essentially branched out of that. You're like, you're like a business coaching service too.
We do that too. Yes.
So you've, like you said, the full package.
Yeah.
And so someone like myself could I could tailor make a package with you based on my
what
needs.
Your needs are.
Could based on maybe budget.
Absolutely.
Maybe. Okay. Well, that's really good to know, because, you know, like me, like a lot of others, we're starting out. You know, I've just gone solo. So you know, it's great to know that it's not a one size fits all.
Oh, no, no, no.
Type of
well,
a
business
situation.
Problems aren't one size fits all. There's commonalities.
No. Okay.
For sure, you can see a thread. You know, a lot of people come with the same pain points. But, you know, I actually get this question a lot of like, how are you going to tailor your program to meet my needs when you're in a niche market and all your other clients are selling yarn? You know, like, how are you going to differentiate me from someone else selling yarn? And what I say to those people is, you know, you come to an agency because we have best practices that we can bring to the table for you. And the tools and the tips and the tricks and the knowledge is common among all the clients. And that might be one of the reasons why you come to me is because I see what's working for these other clients. I see what didn't work for this client. And so I can bring both of those pieces of knowledge to the table to help formulate best practices for your program, right? So instead of you struggling with the learning curve, you know, being like, oh, I want to try Facebook ads. That didn't work. I'm going to try blogging every week. Oh, that's too hard. You know, then I can I can come to you and say, here's what I know has worked really, really well for our other clients. And we can formulate that program for you based on that knowledge.
And you're coming from a, an unbiased or a, like a sort of like objective, like this is what works. This is, this is, doesn't. And then that instead of, you know, because if you're making content yourself, like sometimes you don't know, you can't see the forest for the trees or you're not sure. You think, hey, this is good stuff. But you know, sometimes it's not and you don't know it. I mean, I'm just, I think that that can happen to everyone, to all of us. So you might just be getting a call from me.
Yeah,
I'm super excited. Really? No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Okay. So, so what's a typical pain point that someone might come to you with, you know, and how would you solve it? Like, just give me a quick little case study. Could you do that?
Oh, is case study. Sure, sure.
Case, is that like putting you on the spot?
Yeah. Because I think a lot of people do call and they go, oh, I feel so bad telling you this, but here's my pain point. And, it, and it's a lot like a lot of other clients. I would say, so my typical client is actually a yarn, mostly yarn companies or in the fiber space. So spinning and weaving, fiber prep, those kinds of clients. And they're mostly a B2B model, so business to business. So they're a distributor or a manufacturer. And then they have, they're trying to sell their products into a retail market. Some of them are doing direct to consumer where they might have a few products on a website, maybe lab dips that didn't work, you know, for yarns or products that are discontinued. But for the most part, they're doing a B2B model. So I think one of the biggest pain points I hear is a company that is really frustrated with the shops or whomever they're selling to, that those people don't know what, they don't know what they're doing. You know, that's the complaint that they have. And so, they want to do a lot of social. They want to do engagement and get out there and do events and really cool stuff. But because they're selling their product to the yarn shop and the yarn shop, then it's like stops there. Then when the yarn hits the shop, it's not moving. And they get really frustrated that there's not a lot of flow through, right? That they can't tie their efforts to a sale because they're that B2B model. Right? Does that make sense? So what we try to do is help them in a couple of different ways. I believe that you do still need to do social because some B2B companies are like, why am I spending all this money on a Facebook ad when they're going into the yarn shop and buying the yarn? Why aren't they paying the, for the Facebook ads? Right? They
but it's
frustrated.
Branded. It's the branding aspect,
well,
too.
There's some education that goes along with that to teach those companies. Like, I mean, I always say, I heard a great saying on a podcast, the answer to the question, you know, what is the ROI on social? I'm going to stop doing social because I can't see the ROI. And the answer to that is the ROI is that you'll be here in 5 years as business. Because if you don't do the social and you're not in that sandbox right now, you you are going to fall so far behind that you're going to struggle. And then the fear is you'll go out of business. So.
And the truth is that I think now more than ever, you're getting more eyes on what you're doing as opposed to being in a print magazine or a book or something that's printed.
Right.
So you have that ability for so much more, so many more people to reach you and see you. If you do it right, exactly. So, you know, and I know, so you know that this landscape has changed, right? There's a lot of people out there that are newbie, like new one man and one woman shows. They want to start a fiber business. Maybe they're not even designers.
Okay.
You know, they could be indie dyers. So how has that landscape of the online world, that subculture, if you will, that's yeah. been uprising, the uprising
right.
over the last 5-ish years? I mean, it's really big now. People yeah. are really making money online.
Yeah.
So how has that changed your business? How has that had an effect on, you know, in a positive way or maybe negative? I don't know. Yeah. Like how, or is it neutral?
Yeah.
Has it really not had any kind of an effect?
Well, that's a great question.
Okay.
I think part of what some of the different changes that I've seen are good. You know, I think that bringing new bloggers, new influencers, new YouTube stars, mm-hmm. new designers, you know, competition's good for everybody. Really, it raises all ships. So I like that part of it. It provides more opportunities, like you said, for people to get their marketing word out. So instead sure. of just the print ad, now you've mm-hmm. got YouTube, you've got social channels, you've got the ability to tap into an influencer and have them spread the word for you. Like, so mm-hmm. there's some options. Mm-hmm. The other great change is that there's more accountability. You
right.
know, one of the biggest complaints that I get from clients is, oh, I'm throwing money into this print ad. I have no idea if it's working. Whereas some of the new social and these other platforms, there is that accountability because the numbers are there. You know, you can put a Facebook pixel on an ad, follow that back through your analytics, and you can see how effective it was, mm-hmm. right? So I do sure. have a lot of clients moving into the purely digital space because they want to see the numbers, they want to use the data, and they want to tie those conversions back to an originating mm-hmm. campaign, right? Mm-hmm. So that part of it's great. You know, I think the downside, well, at least the frustrations that I see with the landscape are that some of the old, I'll call them the old guard companies yeah. that have been around for a really long time don't know how to pivot really. And they don't know how to
yeah.
keep up.
Yeah.
They're having a hard time evolving. Mm-hmm. They don't understand how things work.
They don't see the value.
They don't
in
see
the social.
Value.
They don't, mm-hmm. you know, because they can't point it direct
exactly.
line
yeah.
from here to
yeah.
that sale.
Right.
And that's not how it works.
Yeah,
that's
especially with the B2B model, right?
Absolutely.
Because they're like, where's my
money
going?
Call. It is.
B2C
it really
is a little
is.
Easier. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have to say the demographic is typically a little bit older. Some of the old guard business owners are, mm-hmm. let's say, you know, 45 and older. And so some of these new technologies are not native to them. And so they really struggle with the, like, Facebook, Instagram, and now you're going to throw Snapchat at
me? So this is a good...
I can't keep up.
Yeah, it's good that we went down this path here because
yeah.
how do you convince them that, you know, that it's a really beneficial thing for them to really be thinking mm-hmm. about this sort of thing in their business?
Well, for everybody, the proof in the pudding is sales.
This is true.
If I can
It is
point
true. That's
to
yeah.
this thing resulted in this sale. You know, if you spend a dollar and you make five, you're going to do that all day long.
But you have to look at the big, no. it's a marketing mix and look at the big picture because
sure.
I think you have to say, okay, in these six months that we've been working together, mm-hmm. you know, do we see that bell curve or whatever we
yeah.
call it go like,
yeah.
or, you know, a little, oh yeah, all right,
yeah,
all right, you know,
yeah.
and then, okay, so, because you're going to have
yeah.
peaks and valleys,
sure.
but as long as you can see like that little, mm-hmm. I think that's what you have to look for, this
right.
more organic kind
Definitely.
Of, not like, pinpoint, like you said, to there,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, and so that kind of thinking is limiting, and you sabotage
yeah.
your anything you even think of considering online.
That's true.
If you're ready to create a holistically balanced life and business that converges creativity with mindful living, and you're not afraid of making money, working hard, and have the drive to succeed, then sign up now for my free 30-minute business coaching discovery session by going to powerpearlspodcast.com/free-strategy-session. You'll learn some basic strategies and we'll see if working together is a good fit. Let me help structure a comprehensive program to pave your creative business path. Visit powerpearlspodcast.com/free-strategy-session to sign up today.
There's both parts to it, right?
Yeah.
There's the short tail, there's the long tail.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to, you know, talk to clients a lot about that. Some people will come to me and they're on their last leg or they've had really flat sales and they
mm-hmm.
say, well, I'm going to hire an agency. And then things are going to get better. And it's that pill. And
oh, yeah.
so I have to explain to them, well, we can help you with some small wins.
Right.
There are definitely some tools in our tool bag where, you know, I can sign you up for some of the things that we work on and, you know, you'll have some really great hits. We call them like a home run. But then we have to talk about the long tail. What are mm-hmm. the slow and steady programs that we're going to do together so that in 5 years, mm-hmm, you've mm-hmm, got a recognizable mm-hmm. brand with loyal, engaged customers that want to buy from you again and again? Because, you know, that's the goal that we all want. Mm-hmm. So
does a typical client have a lifespan with you, would you say? Or is it, you know, how does
yeah. I would say there's two groups, and as an agency, you know, I'm learning how to service our clients in the best way possible mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. So, the agency is about 8 years old right now. And so, you know, I am so proud to say we've got what I call a lot of legacy clients, mm-hmm. You know, Mountain Colors and Mountain Meadow and Monos and, you know, some Bijou Basin, a lot of clients that have been with me since year one.
Really?
And they're still with me.
That's good.
It's great.
It's good to know.
And yeah, it's...
You've got the longevity.
It's the most wonderful thing about my job is,
yeah.
is those relationships.
I'm excited. I'm inspired, you know. Because yeah, I need the guidance too.
Yeah. But other clients, I will say their lifespan is shorter if they come to us and they
have
got
a certain,
unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. They want the moon on a, you know, teeny tiny budget. Mm-hmm. You know, their expectations about budget are unrealistic.
Right, right.
Or, you know, like I said, they're coming to me on their last leg and mm-hmm. things have been mm-hmm. so bad for so long that our ability to help them turn around, you know, the time we have is too short before the budget runs out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that lifespan can be a year or less.
And I think that's what kills a kind of a relationship like this, because if you keep the budget in mind, like, oh, okay, this is when it runs out, we're done and we didn't do anything. It's, I think, the longevity aspect, the, mm-hmm. and I like the idea, the coaching kind of like the guiding aspect. Mm-hmm. We need that.
Yeah.
Solopreneurs especially really need
for
that.
Sure. Yeah.
So let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about your podcast. You have a brand new podcast.
We do.
And I was listening to one of your recent episodes with Stacey from Very Pink.
Oh yeah.
Stacey Perry?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. And yeah, and I've been following her for years, so it was great. Ooh, yay, she was on your show. So excited.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, she spoke about something, you know, the schedule shut down.
Oh, yeah.
Conundrum.
Yes.
Like, how do you handle that? I mean, I know we're talking about the podcast a little,
right.
but I wanted to, that really, you know, I was I really want to bring that up.
Yeah.
So... How do you handle that yourself?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring in the sort of tie the podcast with schedule management because, mm-hmm. you know, like you and I were talking earlier, the podcast is a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you think, it's great. And you see all the fun squirrels. You're like, we do this and this and this. Mm-hmm, but then you don't realize like, I got to do the work now. Right.
So
it does take a lot of schedule management. And Stacey and I were talking on the podcast just about how do you compartmentalize the work to be as efficient as you can to get the things mm-hmm. done.
Right? How do you know when to shut it down?
How do you know when to shut it down?
That's a big one.
It is. And we were, the segue to that was for creative people like us, sometimes it's hard to compartmentalize what's your crafty life or like, in the evenings I'm going to do my project versus your work life. And even Abby Glassenberg and I talked about this on another show I did with her. Same problem.
But it blends.
It blends.
You can't help it.
Yeah. And Abby was saying, it was funny because Abby was saying, sometimes I can't start a project now without thinking like, this is going to be on the blog.
Exactly. But the one thing that I do is I just don't have my computer on my lap on the couch.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will. And it's sending a really bad message to my family. Like, And my husband doesn't like that. But if I have my tablet and my pen, because I have a pen.
Yeah, they won't see it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, this is a lovely movie that we're watching.
Yeah.
And knitting too. It's like, it's fun, but sometimes it's also part of my work, right?
It's
fun. I keep it fun, you know?
Right.
But yeah, so that whole idea of knowing when to shut it down. And I think it comes from confidence.
Yeah.
Like today, like the day is done. Mm-hmm. I got those three non-negotiables done and off my plate.
Yeah.
And if, I didn't reach inbox zero, but whatevs, you know?
Yeah, Sarah
like,
Merrill.
Yeah, because that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you agree with that?
Definitely.
Kind of, it's a confidence thing?
Yeah, it's a confidence thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then you know you've been doing this long enough that the email will be there tomorrow morning. And you can do that too.
Or you can just claim email bankruptcy.
Yeah.
No, but anyway, I've done that on occasion.
Yeah.
So, talking about the podcast a little bit more, sure. How are you using it to drive business? Like, why did you start a podcast?
Yeah. Well, I felt like there was really a gap in the market in the I mean, I know podcasting is so popular and it seems like every day someone's got a new podcast. Mm-hmm. But I was talking to other folks just in my circles that were saying it's a great way to share your thought leadership and your knowledge mm-hmm. with the people that you're working with. So I feel like sometimes I say the same thing over and over in consulting sessions with some clients. And so mm-hmm. it kind of occurred to me like, well, maybe I can share this information with a lot of other people.
Yeah.
And a podcast is just a great platform to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love podcasting myself. I am constantly plugged in.
I am too.
All the time.
And you,
I love it.
I love it too. So I love it too. I do.
It was a good fit there.
Absolutely.
Too.
And you can also pay forward a lot of the stuff that you learn from other
Absolutely.
Podcasters. And I listen to a lot of mainstream podcasts.
Yeah.
I'll have to share my list.
Your favorites.
I'll tell you just one right off the bat.
Yeah.
I talk about them all the time. Smart Passive Income. Have you listened to that? Pat Flynn.
No.
Pat Flynn.
Smart Passive Income. Okay.
There's a little plug.
Yeah.
He's great. Very funny. You know, very personable, very mm-hmm. Just funny guy. And sometimes I forget, this is a podcast about passive income.
Yeah.
But it's just really fun and very engaging. And there's a reason why his podcast is like one of the top entrepreneurial podcasts. I had another question. Oh gosh, I just lost it about the podcast. And
favorites, what were we talking about?
We love podcasting.
And the medium, how convenient it is.
It is, And so
you can be walking the dog, you can be cooking, you can be
right.
Yeah,
and that's the thing about
great.
Audio as opposed to video. I mean, this is video now because you know it's the ability to touch another group of people that like video. You guys, and I think that I know for myself, my preference is listening to audio, mm-hmm. to audio. Mm-hmm. So now, do you have plans that, because it's just, you know, just starting. So are you going to maybe have the audio mentoring or audio advice? Like how, mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say.
There it is.
Yeah. Before I forget to ask.
Yeah.
What is the name of your podcast?
Yeah, it is Business of Craft. And it's on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Mm-hmm. Or they can just go, anybody who's interested, to stitchcraftmarketing.com/podcast. And they can see all our archived podcasts on there. Get the show notes and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, find out what platform they can listen to it on there as
so
well.
So what can they expect? Like, what's coming up?
Oh, gosh, what's coming up? Well, I want to really cover some, like what you touched on earlier, some of these more common pain points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, some of our shows so far have been, the first one was with Julie Crawford on Pinterest. Because I get so many questions about, you know, I have a board, don't really know how to use it. I hear it's great for traffic, but that's not happening to me. And so we covered a lot of that. And so I'm hoping to give that audience all those best practices about how to optimize your Pinterest board. So we're going to cover a lot of social. So Pinterest, we did YouTube. But then I want to bring in just other experts in the business realm, like Gwen Bortner is going to come on and talk about organizational management. I have somebody coming on to talk about how to work with millennials in the workplace and retaining employees and sort of his secret sauce for how he's kept his employees for so long and that changing landscape.
I'll be coming on soon, but I don't even know what I'm going to talk about yet.
Soon?
Everything. Everything.
Stay tuned. We're going to figure that part out. But you know, like you, everybody has their little area of expertise. Mm-hmm. And so to draw that out and share that with the audience is really the goal. Really the aim, so that our crafty business people become better business people.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know, and I just thought about this. This goes back to what we said earlier. When you're working with someone, you know, I think, like, let's just say someone is out there creating content, and they're not. It's just not really. It's not working. They're saying, "I'm doing all this stuff. It's not working." But you can see why. It's really because it's not good.
Yeah.
Do you ever deal Do you ever deal with those sticky, awkward moments? But
Not.
Like I feel for myself. I'm like, if my content stinks. I was going to use a bigger word than that. If it stinks, because I want to know. Because I think I can fix that. Like if it's something like, you know, just tweak this here or try this with your graphics. Because I create all my own graphics and I have a background in that. But it's like, you know, it's like, that's the piece that I think a lot of people are missing. But how do you handle that in a very kind and, you know, kind of strategic way?
Tough. Well, and it's tough because people in our industry, I'm assuming, they come to it because they're passionate about it and they love mm-hmm. it. And it's close to their heart and it's something really important to them, right? I mean, that's right. how you got into it. That's how I got into it.
Yeah.
So you're already kind of coming to it with this sensitivity of like, don't kill the thing that I live and breathe for, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when they've created their own business, like let's say an Etsy business, or they're a designer, or like, I mean, that's a piece of them. So mm-hmm. you've got to be a little more mm-hmm. gentle,
but maybe to direct them too, because maybe they're just all over the place.
Oh,
they
sure.
have a great, like they're great raw the way that their vision is, but how do we
right.
funnel it in?
You got to give them the
create
skills.
Your brand,
yeah. right?
Right.
And you know, a lot of times, when I'm working with somebody, I will tell them, you know what? Part of why you're hiring me is because I'm going to give you that come to Jesus talk. I'm going to tell you things
yes.
you might not want to hear. I mean, you mm-hmm. you do coaching too, so mm-hmm. it's the same. You know how mm-hmm. that works. If they came to me and everything was perfect and I'm going to just spit back to them what they already know and what they're doing well, what's the point of hiring us?
They're not going to grow and you're not going to,
yeah.
they're not going to be happy with what you've done for them
yeah.
if it's really not coming from a place
yeah.
that's really
so we give
honest.
Them that,
yeah.
that honest talk. And one of the things we actually offer clients is what we call a strategic analysis, where we do a really deep dive into their company.
Mm-hmm.
We look at all their social channels, all the content pieces they're producing. We do a competitive analysis where we're looking at your engagement versus your competitors. We look at pricing. We look at graphics. We give them that
really
big
awesome.
Picture view before we start on any programs.
Oh, wow. I'm glad I went back to this question because I'm like, that's a really important
yeah.
thing. I think a lot of us are like, am I really doing it right?
Yeah.
I think
well, we
I
tell
am.
You.
What's wrong? What's wrong?
Yeah.
Why aren't I getting,
right.
you know, the what's wrong? Am I getting likes or
yeah.
whatever it is? And it's like, it could be this thing that you just can't see yourself.
Yeah, because you're so close to it.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
yeah.
So
yeah.
anyway, let's shift gears a little
okay.
bit because now we've been talking for a while. I want to talk about a day in a life.
Okay.
So do you knit for fun? Do you still, you know,
a day
do
in
that?
Life.
I mean,
do.
Yeah.
I do
okay.
knit for fun. Yeah, I was just talking to Kathy Elkins on her yarn.com podcast, and she was saying, you know what? I've gotten to that place in my life where I am fine admitting I'm an advanced beginner knitter.
Oh, really?
And I love that.
That's about, okay. Because
I
you,
love that.
You know what? It's like knitting just to click the needles
yeah,
and feel
what
that,
it is
that,
for
that
me.
Visceral mm-hmm. connection.
That's
really?
What it is for me.
Yeah.
The tactile, the fiber. And also, I have so much going on in my daily work life that's requires decisions, complicated problem solving, coming up with creative solutions. That by the time I sit down with my needles, sometimes I just want a garter stitch.
I know.
You know?
I know.
I just want to make something that looks maybe more advanced. So there's like right now I'm knitting a project with a linen stitch, like, and it looks
oh,
really cool.
Linen stitch is awesome,
but
it's easy,
it's brainless,
but it is. And it's so, yeah, it's a beautiful stitch.
Yeah.
And those are the best. It's like, I call those brilliantly simple. I mean,
exactly.
I used to say that when I was an editor, you know, when I would put out a call
yeah.
for submissions, just to try to nail home, like show
yeah.
me something that's brilliantly
yeah.
simple and easy. Like it's a interesting shape or whatever it is,
yeah.
but it might only be garter stitch, but it's
yeah.
like, wow,
but it still
could knock me over
or
with a feather
colors.
Because it's
yeah.
just not all fussy stitches. Like we don't yeah. need to do that.
Yeah.
So
and
how,
I'm a hand spinner too.
Oh,
so
you are. Oh, right.
I love to spin.
You were
and
with
then
spin off. Yeah. That's
yeah.
what you said. So,
right. so
that's, and
doing
you know,
a project
that,
with hand spun is fun too.
And I used to spin, you know, the drop spindle
yeah.
type stuff. And that's something I need to get back to.
Oh, yeah.
But I think I was more frustrated because it's like you don't like anything when you're starting.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it keeps falling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that it
I
broke.
Can get it. Yeah.
And so that at that point, it's not relaxing.
Yeah, I know. It's
you know?
More frustrating. You got to get over that learning curve
exactly.
just a little bit. Yeah.
So how does this relate back to your why,
mm-hmm.
you know, in caps, your why,
my why
you started your business in the fiber sphere
yeah.
because you're an advanced beginner, you love the tactile.
Yeah.
This is still, it's a passion, even though you, you know,
absolutely.
You're taking it on a very,
right.
you know, easy level. But why, how does that, you know, how does that connect back to
mm.
why you started your
mm.
business?
That's another good question.
Yeah.
yeah.
I'm making
why?
You think today.
Well, I've always been good at marketing. mm-hmm. My mother was in marketing. My father was an entrepreneur. Like, it's in my genes.
Mm-hmm.
It comes to me very intuitively. And so I always kind of had that piece for my career. I knew I was going to do that. And then, you know, just going back to the wanting to do something that I loved and I cared about brought in the fiber piece.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to have an opportunity to bring those two together in this agency life that I'm doing is the why for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to help
yeah.
people and I like to see people grow and thrive. So, you know, when you get that, that's just the golden egg for me. Mm-hmm. When it's I can do fiber. I get up, you know, I always say, gosh, I get up in the morning and I get to work with yarn and fiber.
I know,
and
it's
crafts
great.
And sewing, and
it is exciting.
I feel so lucky and grateful, and mm-hmm. and then also to be able to combine what I think I'm really good at and then see people succeed. I mean, there's just mm-hmm. nothing better than that. Mm-hmm. So that's the why.
That's great.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Yeah.
So has your knitting taught you any humbling life experiences? You know, it could be like something like sort of very micro, like more patience. That's a good one, right? Because it does when you're struggling with a stitch pattern. But mm-hmm. how has it helped, maybe not so much helped you with, you know, any humbling life or taught you any humbling life lessons, but more that it served you as sort of like as a refuge point or just given you comfort.
Yeah. Well, let's see. The life lessons that I've learned, probably the biggest one for me is about, and it's funny because this kind of goes a little full circle to my origin story, about what you're really good at and what you're not so good at. And coming to a place where you can accept that and be okay with it. And so for me, one of my weaknesses, if you will, which Deb Robson so generously pointed out to me once was attention to detail, right? I'm a big picture person. I see ideas and dreams and, you know.
Really? She was real gin, right?
Yeah. She was like, you know, when it gets really super granular, it's not so great. Mm-hmm. So now I know that about myself and the same with my knitting. Like I can't do the lifeline lace projects. Like that is not me because it's not my sweet spot. It's not what I'm good at. It's not where I'm happy.
Right.
And so, you know, we have a saying at the agency, I believe that everybody that works on my team has their seat on the bus, right? Mm-hmm. And when you find the right person for the right seat, that's where that synergy happens.
That's a great analogy. I love that. Yeah.
So I think knitting and fiber and just really all crafts has just taught me where my seat on the bus is. Wow. And when you go in that seat, that's where magic happens.
That's really cool.
That's where you thrive.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. So we're going to just start to wrap up a little bit here because this has been great. And I could just keep talking.
Yeah, I know.
Because I love to talk.
Yeah, hang out.
But what is the best advice you've ever received? You know, something that just sticks with you, like that little tiny quirky thing even. We talked about that earlier and I shared some of mine. But, you know, it doesn't have to be anything groundbreaking too, but just...
It almost sounds like I'm going to reiterate what I just said, but, you know, just go with, again, back to Deb, who taught me, you know, don't be afraid to just embrace what you are really good at and let go of the rest. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, that piece of advice has served me really well. I was listening to, going back to podcasts, Tim Ferriss, whom I love. One of the things he was talking about was what was your darkest teacher?
Wow.
What did they teach you? That's one of the questions that he asks.
That's a good one.
So, yeah. And so.
And they were probably your biggest teacher,
right,
too.
Right. You learned
them
all.
Even though at the time, you're
right? So at the time when Deb was like, you're not good with details, I was like, oh, God.
Exactly. Knife in the heart. Job.
Yeah. And you want to be, you know, when you're younger, too, I want to be really great at everything.
Yeah.
But that was a really hard lesson in the moment. But one of the most important lessons I've ever learned from anybody was that, you know, and it's okay if that's not your thing, because something else is your thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if you go to that thing and you can thrive in that place, then
that's great. And it's hard to hear that kind of advice, but it's the truth. Uh-huh. And I know that for myself, it's like, I go a mile a minute and I don't stop to turn back. Oh yeah.
Right.
Or stop and smell the roses. And it's great because I even have some of my community members remind me of that.
That's
and
nice.
they care so much. It's wonderful. You know, so that's really interesting when your own members, you know, tell you that. And they'll keep following, but they're like, just slow down a little bit.
Okay? That's good.
We love you.
Yeah. That's how you know you're in the right place.
Yeah. So one last question.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just this one overarching kind of thing that you do every day. What is it that helps you stay? Like, what is the thing? The daily success. What is that one thing that helps you maintain?
Yeah, this
daily
is a great
success.
Question. I love this question. I've asked it to my guests on Business and
Craft. Okay, cool.
Because I'm curious about it too, and that's one of the reasons I love Tim Ferriss because
absolutely.
His theme is all about being a better person, like self improvement, constant self improvement. So I love that question. So great tip for your viewers and your listeners. Just found this recently. Zapier
Zapier.
Do you know Zapier?
I've used Zapier. I've used it with Evernote and Asana and tried to connect them. And I guess it's for me, it's just for some reason I'm having a tough learning curve because when I write in Asana, it was going to send it to Evernote. But it was all, you know, mixed up and scrambled and weird. But anyway, maybe I'm just doing it wrong.
Yeah,
just
and please, for those that might not know,
help us.
It's a platform that helps connect apps and they talk to each other. So like you said, you know, one app has one application and then you connect it with a Zap and then that makes an efficiency. And so what I've done recently is I'm trying to keep track of all the things I do continually, you know, again and again and again, like repeatable actions. So for example, if I add a new customer in QuickBooks, then my next task was always, now I got to go to MailChimp and add them to the new customer list. Well, in Zapier, I just set up a Zap. I don't do that anymore. So it's created a lot of efficiencies. So I guess my productivity tip is, you know, find those things you're doing again and again and again and look for ways to automate them.
To automate,
and Zapier might be a good app for people.
Well, that's great.
So yeah. Love that one.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And so now that we're, you know, nearing the end, where can people learn more about you?
Okay.
We talked to briefly about, in the beginning, your company, but like websites, and social stuff.
Sure.
And podcast, you can mention that again. So go for it.
Okay. Well, the website is probably the best place to find all of the tangential links. We've got all our social on there, but it's stitchcraftmarketing.com. And if you want to go right to the podcast, that's a /podcast. That's Business of Craft is the new podcast, and that's on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Awesome.
Of course, we have all this, you know, we have all the social. Can't be serving clients, helping them with social if you don't have it yourself. So all our channels are off of the website, but we're on
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And we also do, I'll say, another great thing that clients really like and general audiences, we do a Monday Magic newsletter every Monday.
Cool.
Which is like curated content from around the web, but it's quirky and clever and funny, and it gets you off to a great start on your Monday. So lots of people love that. And then we also have a blog that we post every single week, which is just general, well, not general, sometimes it's really specific business tips specifically for crafty people. And that's a super popular thing that people like too. So
wow, you guys check all that out.
Yeah,
I can't wait. Oh, well, thanks for joining me. This was great.
You.
All right, you guys,
really
thanks for joining us. This was great. Bye.
Well, that about does it, you guys. Another episode in the bag, and I hope that you enjoyed it. Thanks for hanging in there with me today. And if you haven't had a chance yet, please hop on over to iTunes. I haven't mentioned this lately, but you know, it's so important. I would love it if you could leave a review and a rating for this podcast. And let me tell you why it is so important. Because it helps get the show noticed by other knitters so I can keep on podcasting, you guys. And also, we can help share the love. Your rating and review will help me to greatly impact others and get the word out to more knitters and those wanting to learn this craft that we are all so passionate about. Also, if you have a special knitting story, I would love to hear from you. And if you feel that this story will help and inspire others on their own knitting journey, then go to powerpearlspodcast.com and click on the Tell Your Story link and leave me a short voice recording with your story and why you think it should be featured.